I'm gonna teach today, not preach.
Well, I'll try to learn.
I bet you will.
Aren't you awake?
Good enough? Centered on there.
Well, for some of you, I'm gonna be preaching to the choir, even though we don't have a choir. We're all the choir. Just a little bit about who I am, just so you know my background and why I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. Some of you do know me. I've known Edward Norman for 40 years, wouldn't you say? Probably about 40 years. And I was born in Central Texas in 1950. My dad died when I was 7 years old. I started drinking when I was 13 years old, pretty heavily, and especially on weekends. I had to go to school during the week, but weekends it was, you know, Katie bar the door. I went to college, and back then it was the 60s, so college was a blur of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and did it all. And here I am today. But as a kid, I always knew I wasn't going to stay in Texas. I was going to be in Colorado. I just knew that. I'm going to live in Colorado. That's what I'm going to do. We came up here on vacation. My mom and sister and I was raised by a single-parent mom and an older sister. I was 12, and after that vacation, it was set. I'm going to live in Colorado. I'm going to live in a small town in Colorado. The only problem is that's not a career that makes you a lot of money, living in a small town in Colorado, right? You know, some boys want to be a fireman and some a policeman and this and that, and I wanted to live in Colorado. Well, once I got here, I had to make a living. But anyway, I moved to Pagosa in 1978, and I moved up to Denver first. I was up there for a couple of years. Moved down here, fairly newly married, had a six-month-old. Eventually had four kids, divorced after 7 years, had a special needs son. I left here in 1980 for a year and a half and went up to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and sold timeshare and met Kathy Jackson. She was one of my timeshare tours. Sold her the whole bill of goods. And I mean, how do you meet somebody on a timeshare tour and end up living with them for 33 years, you know? That's pretty amazing. Anyway, I moved out to California where she was for a year and a half, and then we moved back here. So we've been back here 32 or 3 years. And during that time, we blended a family. I had four kids, I had three of them, and she had one, and we blended those two together, and they were 7, 9, 10, and 11 when we married. And today they're 39, 40, 43, whatever. we got through all that. But at 7 years, it wasn't the seven-year-old classic seven-year itch, but it was 7 years, and it was this all the time. If I said white, she said black. If I said green, she said blue. And if I said yes, she said no. So we were both living in our own self-will. And, you know, that'll get you every time. We had made a commitment to the kids that we would never divorce because we had both been through divorce. We weren't going to do that to them again. And so, you know, come hell or high water, we were going to make it. Kathy went to a Christian women's retreat here in Pagosa Springs, and Annabelle Gillum was the speaker that year, and she was out of Fort Worth, Texas, she and her husband, and they preached a message of grace, something we didn't know a lot about. And so after the first night, and I'm speaking for you, but after the first night, Kathy, in tears, went up to Annabelle and said, "Whatever you have, I want it. I'll follow you anywhere. You guys have to forgive me. I'm 71 years old, and, you know, when you get a little older, the old estrogen kicks up a little bit in guys. If I get emotional this morning, just let it be." So anyway, she went up and spoke to Annabelle, and Annabelle said, "What you need to do is go to Denver to a counseling place called Exchanged Life Ministries." And Kathy came home and said, I'm going to Exchange Life Ministries. And I'm like, what the heck do you mean you're going to Exchange Life Ministries? No, you're not. You're not. You're never, ever, ever. So she goes, yeah, I am. And that was on Sunday. And Monday, a week later, she was in Denver sitting in front of Lila Faber, who was the head counselor at Exchange Life Ministries. And Exchange Life, that intensive counseling that they were doing, was 5 days straight and 5 to 6 hours a day with the counselor. And you got through your stuff, let me tell you. So she came home, and I really, the honest truth was, she was at peace. Nothing I said would trigger her. And believe me, I did everything I could to see if I could trigger her. Wouldn't work. So finally, it was like, if you can't beat them, join them. And so a couple weeks later, I went up to Exchange Life and spent 5 days with Lila Faber. And I learned about grace. And it was big. It was real big. We had both been raised. I was raised in the Bible Belt, Southern Baptist, under the law. Kathy was raised in North Dakota, American Baptist, under the law. We both had grown up in towns of about 100 people. Everybody knew everybody. And Kathy grew up in a performance-based home, where if you performed, you were accepted, and if you didn't perform, you weren't. And I grew up in a home where, out of nowhere, all hell would break loose and we'd be fussing at each other. And 5 minutes later, we'd say, what's for dinner tonight? We'd just go on like nothing happened. And it wasn't that bad, but the mix of the two was a little off at first. But anyway, for years, we shied away from anything that pertained to the law. And I assure you, the law is in many, many places in our lives. It's in culture. It's not just the Ten Commandments at all. So when I was in Jackson Hole selling timeshare, met Kathy, I kept thinking, and I was still not walking with the Lord. I was raised in the church, knew it all, wasn't walking with the Lord, heavily drinking. And for some reason, the people that I toured on these timeshare tours, it began to matter more to me about what was going on in their lives than it did whether or not I was going to sell them a timeshare. And I knew something was going on, and I knew that I was supposed to be counseling people. So I met Kathy, married Kathy, got sober, went back to college, got a master's in psychology, came back here and had a Christian counseling practice for about 15 years here and 2 years in Bayfield, about 2 days a week. And this is what I'm going to talk about today is something I used to talk to my clients about. And it's partially about grace. It's about law and grace. And it's also about our identity in Christ, who we are. Who are we? If you take the verb, and I know probably you guys can't see this real well, but maybe it'll. You take the verb to be. The present tense of the verb to be is, are, and am. He, she, is, they are, I am. The biggie. So, who are we? If, most generally, if I ask someone when I was working with them, tell me who you are. This is what I'd get. I'm a contractor. I'm a grandpa. I am, somebody help me here. I'm a
husband, child of God,
teacher.
Teacher. And with hearing aids, I'll just pick up part of this guy, so. Teacher, very good. Anything else? One more.
Father, mother, you said grandfather.
Father, mother. I'll just put an F and an M. Father, mother. And I would let them talk about that for a while, and I would say, you know, actually, this is what you do. And we all are under the law in that we judge ourselves consciously or unconsciously on a daily basis, all day long. How good a job am I doing as a contractor on a scale of 1 to 10? Am I, today, was I at a 4 or a 7 or a 2? Today, I got onto my grandkids unnecessarily a 2, you know? And we do, we judge ourselves throughout the day. And that actually becomes a law that we are living under. We're putting ourselves under that law that we have to perform. If we watch advertisements on TV, we see the nice clothes or the nice cars or the wonderful relationship running through the meadow to each other, all of that. we're kind of going, well, I just don't quite live up to that. And it really, that puts us under the law. The law is everywhere. It's everywhere in our culture. And then I would talk about to be. I am. And let me, let's see, do I want to read that yet? Yeah, I think I do. I'm going to read something from Romans that Paul wrote. Clearly, and this is from the New Living Translation. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's laws, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. That's it.
Where is that?
It's Romans 4:13. Okay. Mm-hmm. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. So it's not what we do. It's by faith. The other thing I want to read, and this is the passage that is the, what would you say, Kathy, for Exchange Life, their motto, their theme? Yeah. And this is, you guys are familiar with this. This is Galatians 2:20. And this is, again, in the New Living. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when we went through Exchange Life, they had us at one point, Kathy and I were there at different times, but at one point, you have to admit that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I'm a dead man. And dead men can't have wishes or goals or expectations or promises or anything. They basically taught that we think we have the right to things also. I have the right to be popular. I have the right to be liked. I have the right to be loved. I have the right to have money. I have the right to have a place to live. But a dead man doesn't have rights. And what we do if we think we have rights is to try to control things, whether it's big control or little control. We're trying to control things to make those things happen, whether we know it or not. And he had me visualize that I was laying in a coffin, and that they were trying to shut the lid on the coffin, and I still had my arm out holding on to something. And what was it? What was that ultimate thing that I thought I had the right to? Because they couldn't get me dead until I let go of that. That day, I filled out 5 things that I thought I had the right to. I put them in my Bible, and about 2 years later, I'd forgotten it, you know, didn't think about it. Picked up that particular Bible that I'd kind of put on the shelf because of the version it was. Picked it back up, opened it up, and looked, and I had accomplished All five of those things had accomplished in my life that I had given up the right to. So that was a big lesson that I learned. Because in my flesh, I'm still a pretty much a controller sometimes. So we all do that in various ways. I'm not going to go into all that, but we all control. So what I learned about who I was is that I am a forgiven being. 24/7, 365.
Yes.
Does anybody have a problem with that?
Well, one more day every few years.
Love it, Donna. Thank you. And 366. Does everybody get that concept? We never for one second are unforgiven. For sure. When Christ died on the cross way back here, in a time frame, and Jerry was born in 1950 and came into the age of accountability in 1960 and sinned, and I sinned at 20 and at 50 and at 70 and I'll sin at 80. He had already died on the cross when all of that happened. So there's never a moment, and when you think about our being, We are a living being, and if you describe that being, one of the things that you would say about us in this room is that we live as forgiven beings. We're never not forgiven. We're righteous and holy. I am righteous and holy. Help me out here, Kathy.
We're saints.
We're saints. Yeah. Thank you. We're members of a royal priesthood. The Bible says, royal priesthood. That's an S. We are children of God who are loved unconditionally. Amen? Amen. Okay. That's who we are. So, as we go through the day, and we are supposed to walk in the Spirit, how do we do that? How do you walk in the Spirit without getting over here? I'm going to walk in the Spirit today, so I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to walk in the Spirit today, so I'm going to be a better contractor, be better for my employees. All that. How, it's a fine line. How do we get over here, not get over here, and stay here?
Love.
Yes.
Constant prayer. Constant.
Yes.
And rejecting falsehoods that people constantly put on you.
Yes.
That you're supposed to be in the other column.
That's right. Exactly. It's keeping it in mind. That's right. Before I went to Exchange Life, Kathy and I would have a little disagreement before I left for work that morning, and I would drive out of the driveway going, I am a bad husband. What does that do for you during the day? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Makes you lose confidence in yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, and you're further away from being walking. You're not walking the Spirit for sure. Mm-hmm. Lose your confidence in yourself. After I learned these truths, I would drive out the driveway saying, I am a child of God who is loved unconditionally. I had an argument with my wife this morning before I left the house. Period. I am not a bad person. So if we can keep these things in mind, that's really, really what we need to focus on and to let that be where we are. You bet, Don.
Well,
thank you.
You say about, you know, forgiving the wife and all. When my ex and I, you know, broke up and all, I've been a very angry person. Mm-hmm. And one day at a restaurant I was working at, one of the waitresses, she told me one day, she said, you got to forgive her. And what? Forgive her? What? I didn't get the message right away. Later on, after a few years later, I finally did forgive her. And the point is that I finally found peace in my heart and quit being so angry all the time.
Uh-huh. Amen. You bet. Yeah. You bet.
Yeah, I do. You know, I still love her dearly, even though she's 800 miles away from me and all that. But, you know. No, actually, if I kept my patience and, you know, stuff, you know, I caused her to walk out the door. So.
Uh-huh.
But if I kept my patience and all that, come to find out, maybe not the best housewife, but she's been a hard worker ever since. You know, and that would have been a big deal for the both of us being together. Mm-hmm. If anything else, I'll stay home, be the Mr. Mom and the housewife, and let her go make
that's
a paycheck.
Right.
But,
that's right.
But it all just didn't work out that way.
You bet.
And it's all on me. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm not going to deny it. It's all on me.
Uh-huh. That's so, right. I guess Kathy has a famous saying, or that she likes to say a lot, and that is, I am a human being, not a human doing. Yeah. When we first came into this, we were attending a different church that is pretty much under the law, and she would pick up, we started picking up things in hymns. I want to be more like Jesus. Well, you can't. Doing, working at being more like Jesus, doesn't work. Here's the way that works. You say, okay, I'm going to work at being more like Jesus. I'm going to spend 15 minutes a morning doing my devotional and memorize 2 Bible verses a week. So, a month later, you fail. I'll spend a half an hour in devotions and I'll memorize 3 Bible verses now. Month later, you fail. And you will never, and if you live in this column, you will never make it. If you get over in this column and can spend as much time in your life in this column as you possibly can, Paul talked about walking in the Spirit. And I can tell you that's what goes on. And things happen in your life and things change in your life. And you truly experience that life of abundance that Jesus promised us.
Amen.
True. Thank you. It is. You truly experience that. Now, do I stay over here all the time? I had to laugh because God was laughing at me this morning because I was a nervous twit over whether I was going to do this right or not. You know? So, and then I sat down and laughed and Kathy came in the room and I said, well, God was laughing at me and, you know, here I am and I don't know. I'm just going to let God do it. So.
I think he takes over. What comes out of your mouth when you're thinking about Jesus, mm-hmm. thinking about God, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, the 3-in-1.
Right.
That was supposed to come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was really, really fortunate to have 2 of the most Christian parents ever. But then I tried to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. Got married. I had a wife that had an addiction. Still tried to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Got to a point where I was so upset. I would always, you go from judging yourself, like you're talking about, to judging everybody else.
Oh, absolutely.
And then one day, my youngest daughter said, everybody already knows you can do everything better than everybody else.
Sure.
That's, I still fail.
Yeah.
But at least right now, he's right here.
Exactly. Yep. It's okay to fail. You know, big time.
You know, I can honestly say you and I are both in the same boat because you wonder whether or not you're going to do the sermon myself. I stood up there 3 times.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the past, you know, I've been with the church since day one started.
Right.
So,
very
I know
good.
How you feel. You first come up.
I feel like I'm not going to have it. It's not going to be long enough either. I should have had it longer, you know. But I really would appreciate anybody has any input on this or anything. Yeah.
You know, if I could just remind myself that in and of myself, I can do nothing.
Uh-huh.
And yes. Who has to do it? And
right.
Then you automatically get in the right column.
Mm-hmm. And this is more than just living in this column or this column. It's the realization of who we really, really, really are. Now, Annabelle Gillum, what was her husband's name?
Bill
Gillum. Bill Gillum used to talk, we used to listen to some of their tapes and stuff. Bill Gillum used to talk about green highways in our brain. Those old addictions, that old prideful stuff. Boy, you can take off down one of those green highways, lickety-split. But you got to remind yourself and catch yourself and really begin to work. Oops, bad word. Work. Remember Maynard G. Krebs? Anybody remember Dobie Gillis? Remember that old? Work on this being who you are.
Yes, you have to stay in the born again, the Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's where you keep going.
Yes, that's right.
You keep going that way, you'll never fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah. When Moses asked God, what shall I tell the children of Israel that you're called? What'd God say?
I am.
I am. That's all about relationship. This is about doing. This is about relationship. I am, he said. I think this is just my belief. Can't base it on scripture. I'll own that. I believe there was a huge message there. I am. And that's, he dwells within us. I am.
Yeah. I think also that when you're constantly doing, like myself, I literally was blessed enough to lose all of that. And most people would never be like, wow, that's such a blessing. But I would have never, ever realized how much of the beingness that I am without losing all of it and then allowing God to put it back as he sees fit. Because no matter amount of work I did or how hard I tried, I could never be what God made me.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take all that trying, and that really is the enemy making me feel less than what you already are. And like, when I realized that, I really realized how much he loved me. I realized that it's only his love I want, and that's the only thing that's important. And if I'm yearning after somebody else's or something else's attention, then it's not God. And that if I catch myself, I can go to God and be like, okay, God, I'm a little bit too attached to this. Like, what do you have to say, Lord?
Right.
And then he'll either be like, okay, you know, do this or this. And it's always very apparent. And I always wondered, like, how will I know when it's God? And it's like, oh, it's very clear. It's
good.
Not a question. And it's
great.
Right?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you care to tell them what you said to Lila Faber when you realized that
and
you
I
needed
just loved unconditionally and I didn't have to do anything?
Yeah, you said, how do I?
Now what do I do?
Now what do I do? She said.
Is that green highway, right? The doing, the performance, the perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why don't you just take a deep breath?
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Why don't you just take a deep breath?
Yes.
Doesn't it say that like faith without works is dead?
It does. And that's a whole different topic. It depends on, I'll answer it just very quickly. It depends on the spirit. This is just the Jerry Jackson thing, okay? It depends on the spirit in which the works is done. If it's to gain God's approval, no. If it's because it needs to be done, you're living in the spirit, walking in the spirit, and you, by nature, if you give all that up, you will want to do those things. I can't think of it right now. I'll skip
it's
that.
It's a byproduct.
It's a byproduct.
It's not something you do. It's
right.
Just your being, and a byproduct happens that somebody's blessed.
That's exactly right. Byproduct's exactly right. peace, patience, kindness, understanding, that whole list. Boy.
The right guy.
Oh, thank you. Yes, they are. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yikes. You know, you can work at doing those, and I guarantee you, because I tried, you'll never make it. And when I died to myself in that coffin, all at once, I'd catch myself having patience with my kids. I'm like, where'd this come from? Well, what's going on here? And I began to truly experience these things as a byproduct, by doing nothing. Now, I'm not telling you that Jerry Jackson is like this or walks in the spirit all the time by any means. Kathy can attest to that. But, gosh, the days that I can, they're wonderful days of walking in the spirit. Yeah. Anybody got anything else?
Well, I think in regards to your faith without works, like love is probably the biggest example of really, people should see the love that you have for others, and if they don't, you're like a clanging gong, and they'll know you by my love, they'll know you're a disciple of that. Well, that's not... To me, that's not really a work in a way. That's just, it's a work of God. Mm-hmm. God's worked in your life so that you have a love for others that really you may not ever have in your own strength.
That's right.
So I think that's probably, and it's number one on there, is as far as just letting it happen, you know, the love thing. I can relate to that better in what Jerry's talking about right here.
Yeah, and also, Jack, I think if a new person walks in the door to church this morning that we've never met, and you're kind of like, I mean, if I'm kind of like, oh, well, I'm supposed to go over there and love on them, you know? No, that's not going to work too good. But it has to be that natural God's love. Yeah.
I think we continue in our addiction. I think we continue in our sin or our addictions or whatever it is. Because we don't understand the Father's love. And once we understand the Father's love, then that kind of stuff will pour out of us. We love because He first loved us. That's the basis.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us get caught up, I'm really guilty of this, of doing things for people so we get something out of it. Instead,
I understand.
As long as we please God when we're doing those things, we don't even have to think about it. We just know that we're pleasing Him. We're not trying to please somebody else. And that's a hard one because a lot of us, we're human beings. And we think, oh, somebody's going to think higher of us if we're there helping somebody change a flat tire on whatever it might be, instead of, I'm doing this because
needs to be done. It's what we need to do.
He wants me to do it.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that's where I know I have a fault.
Well,
I love helping.
What's our identity? Child of God that's loved unconditionally. Bottom line. We don't have to do this to gain that love. Yes. Yes.
My experience of the Galatians is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's who we are. That is who we are.
Because that's who God is.
He lives us. Yes. That's right. Exactly. If anybody is having a problem with kind of getting this, perceiving it or anything, people that are raised in heavily performance-based homes, people that are raised Catholic, it's hard. Anthony and I were talking this morning. It's hard to get this. And
this makes perfect sense to me now that you explained it, because when I was raised a Catholic.
Exactly.
And you know, I got to the point where I was a chairman for the parish council, a chairman for the fiesta, annual fiestas.
Uh-huh.
I worked with the youth for over 10 years. Uh-huh. But everyone would come to me and tell me, God, you do so much. But no, I'd never looked at it that way. I said, I am. Perfect way to explain it. Uh-huh. And who am I? I'm blessed to be a tool of God. I didn't do it. God used me as a tool to do his work. And I was blessed for that. And that's the way I look at it.
Great. Yeah. Super. Great. Okay.
I think it's getting increasingly difficult for children to feel this way because there's just swearing and smart aleckness is the way to talk to each other. Laugh when somebody gets hurt. You know, they just see all this horrible stuff around them all the time. And it's hard for them to learn to be kind because kindness is a joke on TV.
Yeah. Yep. It's that put down stuff. Put down. Yeah, exactly.
It's hard.
We were just in Denver, Donna, and we were eating at a Chipotle's, and a nearby high school let out for lunch, and these kids, all this, herd of kids came in. It was terrible. Yes.
I'm definitely guilty of getting caught in the doing category and beating myself up a lot.
Oh.
And sometimes when I kind of weigh too heavy on myself and judging myself too hard, I like to remind myself of a quote. I don't know who said it originally, but it's God doesn't engineer junk.
That's right. That's right. That's right. My son and I, 21 years ago, were in Peru, and we had been backpacking for like 3 days, and we were coming into Cusco, and we were a good, at least 3 hours walking to get back to where we were staying, that we'd been gone for 3 days, and the sun was going down, and we were going to have to pitch tent in some farmer's field and spend the night and not have a clue what was going to happen during the night or anything. We stopped and we prayed. We're way up this mountain. Here, this dirt road is like this. We prayed. We look up. Here comes this car up the road. Cardboard sign in the window. Taxi.